Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
2-5-0. Yeah, baby. Art of Construction Tribe, another milestone. Here we are, our 250th podcast. And to do this podcast, we're going to do something a little special today and have some awesome partners and leaders of the Art of Construction all coming back that have been into Studio Art of Construction in the past. And to do that, I need to bring some other influencers. And when we could do special milestones, I get to bring co-hosts that have been part of the Art of Construction Tribe and bring that back full circle and always be learning as lifelong learners together. And today we're going to do that with Audrey Grubesic. And I'm so excited to have Audrey back in Studio AOC. And I want to welcome Audrey, and then I'm going to tell the story and have her circle back of what is SBL. Welcome back, Audrey.
Thank you. It is amazing to be here again back with you, Devin. I can't thank you enough. This has been quite the journey.
Awesome. So the days are long and the years are short. And I say that all the time to you, Art of Construction Tribe. And so this moment in time when it got released was February 7th of 2019. And Audrey came to me and said, Devin, I want to do something different. The future of construction is here and it's modular. And I said, that's cool, but I don't care about modular, the stigmatism. I don't want anything to do with it. I went to modular school out of college for a manufacturing company, and it was a bunch of crap. And she's like, wow, that would be even a better story than if you think it's a bunch of crap, because I don't think you know what the future of this thing is. And I'm like, okay, well, if that's the case, then I want to go to school with this. And I want to get a master's degree on the future of construction if you say that's what this is. So I said, you get some guests together and I'm going to help you promote this. And we came together and we said, well, what should we call this? Do you remember that, Audrey?
I do. It's so funny. And it's such a common word nowadays, huh?
And well, these words matter. And these certain words have stigmatisms, in my opinion. And you got to be careful about what words you use with what, right? And we said, I do not want to call it modular. And it was just my own stigmatism is why I was so passionate about that. But it's fascinating here 4 years later of what we're going to be talking about today. So it was as simple as this, is at the time we said, let's start a whole new podcast. And I've learned the hard way over that of this whole evolution of just starting new brands can actually be a bigger conflict of interest and it can actually help you. And so we went out and did all this work and all this marketing. And the reason it was called System Build Lifestyle was as simple as I couldn't get the website systembuild.com. And I said, what could make this even more special someday? And that's how a lot of businesses, I think, are starting right now, just because of a domain name or something funky like that. And I said, the whole vision and mission of Art of Construction is to build better buildings and help people achieve the lifestyle they want. And I said, we're not going to call it modular, so we're going to call it System Build. But what we're trying to do is to build better buildings and help people create a better lifestyle, hence SBL. And then we did these great podcasts and we had these influencers that we're going to talk about and nobody listened to them. I said, why is that? So we relaunched it on the Art of Construction platform and boom, here we are today. This has got so much awareness. And Audrey, what have you been up to since we last spoke about this when we launched SBL? On the Art of Construction.
Well, Devin, when we were doing this program, I was actually doing single family modular homes. I was doing construction. And it was crazy because I remember when I would literally jump from one of my projects to get into your studio so that you and I could both start having these conversations. And from that, we started the Offsite Dirt Media channel. From these conversations from the Offsite Construction series, bringing all these leaders, because you and I are always destined to find more individuals, find more information. And again, like you were saying, trying to find our master's degree in a new evolution of building. So yeah, we started Offsite Dirt. I still have Modular SureSite, my construction company, but my construction company actually moved into more construction management services. So I do more consulting side on developments now, whether they be residential or commercial. So a lot has changed over the last 4.5 some years from where we are today.
Yeah, and I just want to take a moment to give credit where credit is due. Like, I remember sitting there and I said, Audrey, if you're going to do this, you got to bring people in. We got to map this whole out and build it, but build it by actually doing it. And man, did you go out there and do it. Like, you have become such an influential person in connecting these dots. And that's why we want to do this on this milestone. But to talk about my main perspective for this conversation today, and then we're going to get into who we're going to be bringing in as this milestone to talk about system build lifestyle, is let's find out what the current status of offsite construction with some of the industry's biggest influencers, and from their perspective, and talk about what is that path forward. And then let's celebrate all that has happened and what we've accomplished since we started this original SBL series almost 4 years ago. Man, the years fly by, right? What's your perspective for this, Audrey?
It's amazing because, you know, you have the art of construction and you have everything that kind of evolves around construction, whether it be technology, maybe it's manufacturing, you know, there's so many pieces. And then we get into this offsite solution. And it is amazing how many people we have brought in. It is amazing how far everybody else that we have interviewed, how much their businesses have grown and how we're still interconnected. I think it's so valuable to know that we all come from an industry that seems so large in expansion of United States, but yet we still have this small collective and everybody respects each other and everybody is continuing to grow their businesses. And we're all out there having these conversations of new solutions to building products and changing people's lifestyles to know that maybe they can't build their product with a traditional builder, but they can use a modular builder now, which 4 years ago was even hard to find those individuals. So I think the world of offsite construction is just at the beginning point of this mountain that we continue to hike and go up. And it's definitely moving quickly and changing, and the processes are evolving.
Awesome. So our first guest, I remember asking Audrey, okay, we got to have somebody who has done this for a while that knows something about modular construction. And I said, Audrey, that's your first homework. You got to go research and find out who is that person that's going to really educate the Art of Construction tribe on the tried and true methods, that is passionate about being a speaker, a leader of educational marketing to move the industry forward. And I thought that was going to take, you know, that homework. I thought I had a couple weeks to, you know, that would be the next thing. And it was, I think it was like 4 hours later, Audrey's like, I got it. I've talked to all these people. This is the person we got to get on the show. His name is Ken Semler, and he is the guy. And I'm like, okay. So I Google, I look, I'm like, wow, she's really serious about this. So that turned into show 108 titled Modular Builds. How does it work? And I can tell you that was the moment when I was like, I was wrong. Audrey was right. I am ready to go into offsite construction. So that's who we get to have back today, of Ken Semler from show 108. And Audrey, can you talk a little bit about what his business is all about from a third-party testimonial before we go in and bring him into the studio?
Sure. So, you know how we always talk about expansion, Devin, and you and I see this industry just cultivating in so many different directions. When we met Ken, or when I met him, he was with Impreza Modular, which was this amazing opportunity to be able to go onto a website, choose your floor plan, and then anywhere in the United States, you could basically have a house be built and sent to your location to be constructed on site, right? So basically, it was just this amazing digital platform of what he had created. And over those 4 years, he then changes into this unbelievable machine that I like to call it, which is now Impreza Modular, and designs this this franchise so that traditional builders can now learn a new method of construction. They can actually have their projects built in a factory, and all of those solutions come together on his website for connected, you know, connectability. So it was, the process was so streamlined. He was above and beyond his time. I still today haven't seen anybody do what Ken is doing.
Awesome. And our other guest is Gary Fleischer, back from show 217 titled, How Do We Evolve Modular Construction? And I'm super excited to hear his story, and all life's and has its ups and downs. And boy, I hope I have the energy as this guy and his story of the evolution. It's been such a treat to get to know Gary and his whole platform with Modular Home Coach. But why we want to bring them in together is a really cool announcement of all this stuff coming together. If you haven't heard about it, what is the big thing, Audrey, that Ken and Gary have come together to put out to the market?
Well, as you know, both of these gentlemen have amazing knowledge and background and years of experience in the offsite solution and modular building platform and constructability. And Ken and Gary have officially launched their offsite builder magazine and website. So just one more little piece of the puzzle to acknowledge, to inform, and to educate, along with interviews and information. Now we actually have a magazine to prove that the conversation is continuing to grow.
Wow, that's a lot of tee up. This is 250, baby. It's going to be a little bit longer, and we got a lot of fun conversations. So without further ado, let's dive in like we always do and get to know Ken and Gary and what they've been up to and what has moved on from all the previous episodes. You ready to do this, Audrey?
Let's go get him.
All right, lock and load, tribe. Ken, what's your favorite beverage?
Same as it was 4 years ago, Coke Zero.
All right. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled in the last 4 years.
I would say actually the Grand Canyon with 15 inches of snow after the International Builder Show in 2019.
That was a crazy year, wasn't it? My flight got canceled and I had to drive home. I couldn't get a flight. The last rental car with these two gals in front of me, and I was with one other guy, and they're like, "You got the last rental car?" And I'm like, "Oh, I better think quick." I'm like, "Hey, you got a long drive ahead of you. Did you say you're going to Colorado?" And they're like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Hey, I could drive you there." And I jumped in and we started driving and drove all night. It was a miserable drive, but the commitment to excellence we all have for this stuff is intense, right? One story from being in the Grand Canyon there.
Just the view. I mean, the story is just getting out and seeing, I got to see all the mules because three of the trails had collapsed. So all the mules got the week off because of all the snow. It doesn't happen on the trails. And so we get to see things that most people don't see on average when they go to the Grand Canyon. I mean, it was just, I think I'll always remember that view.
There you go. And what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of modular, or what we call system built lifestyle?
It's hard to say because my hobby is doing more work, but I would say when I have the time off, it's taking my wife to wineries and hanging out with granddaughters.
Oh, beautiful. Well, Ken, thank you so much for coming back. And we also get to have Gary Fleischer speed round. Here we go. Gary, what's your favorite beverage?
Still coffee, but I found pistachio cream infused coffee and I am in love now.
All right. I'm going to try it. That's yes. Why I love for the Art of Construction tribe. It's asking that question. This is fascinating what we get back.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get from Gary. You know,
but it is.
What's a favorite place you've traveled since you've been on the show?
Back to New England. I love everything from Vermont, New Hampshire to Massachusetts to Maine because everything's a small town.
I thought you were going to say visiting Ken's new plant.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. That's my favorite place. Yeah. That 11-hour drive was memorable.
There you go. What's a favorite hobby or interest for you?
It's not a hobby. Quite a few years ago, Peg and I started volunteering at our local food bank. And it started off just an hour or two a month. And now we're really involved. And we see the thousands of people that, even in just our small area, that probably wouldn't have enough food for their family if it wouldn't be for the food bank. So we've become very involved with that. So that's our new hobby.
So cool. And Gary, it's such a treat to have you here. I know you've had some ups and downs. Can you fill in the AOC tribe, what you've been going on with your life and what we spoke since early last year on the podcast?
Oh, boy. I'm lucky to be here, apparently, according to the doctors. I had a blocked carotid artery, and I had quadruple bypass surgery since the last time we've talked. And I have a new lease on life. Great doctors, great nurses, and like you said, sometimes I feel like I'm 15 and sometimes I actually feel my age, but right now it's 15.
Awesome.
Actually, he's doing so good. I went out and bought the extended warranty on him and they gave it to me.
Yeah. Medicare awesome. Lowered my premium.
Well, and Gary, you look great. And it's great to see you. And we were all holding love and support around you. So we're happy you're back in the game and batting 200 up to 500. You're going to get that home run.
Thank you.
So, Ken, how about you? Tell us what you've been up to since we last spoke about all your work with Impreza Modular.
Oh, Lord. We've had a lot going since the Impreza Modular. Like Audrey said, back then our company was Express Modular. We were working across the country as a custom home builder, and we knew we wanted to get deeper in what we were doing. And as I always say, the industry, we do a horrible job at teaching other people to do modular construction. And we saw that problem. And I really, I take the lead. I'm the vice president of the Modular Home Builders Association. I'm a past chair of the Building Systems Council. And they must have liked me so much, they asked me to do it again. So now I'm the second vice chair again through the Building Systems Council. And I really do have a passion for this industry. And so we created franchising. And it was a way for me to take the incredible lead volume we get on a daily basis that we weren't just able to keep up with and be able to do turnkey construction in areas around the country. And of course, then we introduced that at the International Builder Show in 2020. And 3 or 4 weeks later, we came back to COVID. So we had gotten so we took a little bit. We got our first franchise stood up then January of 21 in Charlotte. We've got another one in Lake Anna. We've got some more coming on in Northern Virginia and Maryland and DC area. We've actually expanded in now. We look like we'll have a couple signed in the Atlanta area. So franchising is taking off, and there's even more coming on there. And we opened up Impreza Modular Pro, which is we really go after the developers, which is really getting us closer to the day. In 2020, when I presented at the Builder Show, it was the first year that I didn't feel like the redheaded stepchild of construction. I mean, it was usually kind of like you, Devin, when you had that attitude with Audrey about what's this modular thing. It really has it's changed, and people in 2020 discovered it. We ended up taking a break with COVID, but when we went back out to the Builder Show here in 2022, that's the topic on everybody's, that's at the forefront. I mean, modular is what everybody's trying to learn about, trying to get into. But with COVID, we've got horrible capacity problems in the industry. We finally made it, I think. This is not the downturn, we're not hitting a downturn. The next recession won't take it away. I think we've got it. And so with opportunities I've had, we expanded the brand, and now we have Impreza Building Systems. I'm sitting here today in South Carolina, where we have a factory in Greenwood, and we took it over 6 months ago, and we deliver our first house tomorrow. And we have 14 online behind it right now to start cranking out several houses a week to a community nearby that I also became a modular production builder here in the area. And then this thing we did with Gary is we decided to launch a magazine at the end of all that. So that's what I've been doing since.
It's a fascinating to hear that, but it all really ties together. Like, it's hard to just do part of blending offsite and onsite construction. You kind of have to be in round all of it. And that's the more I'm involved in this, and why I was so excited for this conversation. Can you just talk a little bit more about how you were just at the International Builders Show here in 2022 as we're recording this? And it's fascinating how the days are long and years are short. We talk about how I vividly remember leaving the sea of sameness in 2018, and I would leave out there and everybody would be like, Devin, why do you keep leaving? Why? Because I'm up in the Systems Build Council like as much as I could be up there, but it was like I knew nobody up there and nobody knew me. It was like this own little thing. And you talk about how the presence this year, and I wasn't able to be there out as at another engagement, but what was the presence like there for offsite construction and what conversations are being had and what were your key takeaways from that for people like me that weren't able to be in the room?
Well, I would say it was back like as a building systems industry, as an offsite, you know, modular panels, whatever, we would typically have in the IBS education session, the main education sessions, we had maybe one or two topics, one or two sessions a year as an industry. That was all because it's a premium thing to get on to be a main education session at the International Builder Show. This last year, between the centrals and lounges, between main floor education sessions, there were 39 events on offsite construction at the International Builder Show. I mean, that's significant. That's huge. I mean, what is that? 30,000%, whatever that works out to be, increase. And the topic in the forefront of everybody's mind was offsite modular construction. I mean, that was the big thing at the show. I mean, there were obviously great, you know, great new products out there, but the Building Systems Council, I think, set a record for, you know, attendees in the lounge. And, you know, I was holding roundtables. We actually took it out to the other sessions, custom home building, 55 plus. You know, we were filling up tables. People were hungry for the information. So it's just been 2022, I think, was the year of modular at IBF.
Well, there we go, Audrey. It sounds like what we were working on made sense here, right? So Gary,
yeah, and I'm so happy to hear that. And I'm happy to hear that, Ken, that these breakout rooms and people are starting to become more aware and the conversation's expanding because, you know, even 4 years ago, Devin, when we started, there wasn't a lot of people even talking about it. So it's great to see that we're having these conversations and the success stories are continuing to expand. So that's great news, Ken.
Yeah, here's the paradigm shift of why are you wasting your time talking about that to they're hungry for information, right? So Gary, I believe you were there as well. What was your opinion of what you saw featured at IBS this year representing offsite construction?
Well, I actually missed IBS because of my surgery. But Ken and Dave Cooper kept me up to date in all the events. So that was pretty interesting. But there's really nothing like being there. And I've talked to quite a few people in the modular industry, both before and since the event. And I said, did you make it? No. Did you go last time? No. And I'm going, this is the biggest event for construction there is. And you're not going. So it's not only people that don't know about modular, it's modular people that don't know what's going on either. So that was surprised. But one of the interesting new things I saw through Dave and Chad Davies, who did some work for me, was the new product section. The vendors could introduce their products without having the cost of a full-size booth. And the crowds I saw in the videos of what was going on there, that's going to become a regular feature for future IBSs. I can guarantee it. You know, there's a lot of new products out there, and showcasing them is always tough.
I agree. I think one of the things that they do well, though, at the International Builder Show is being able to have people walk through homes and walk through product and to actually see and feel it, because a lot of people, and this conversation goes around and around, is about manufactured and modular and the differences, right? Everybody gets confused about those systems. And then it kind of leads me into this other point. Gary, a lot of people on the show may not know that you are just in depth in content and information with your Mod Coach, your blog and the information that you provide. And recently that you had covered a Denver Post article on how Colorado is facing both an affordable and attainable housing crisis. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about where we're going? And are you seeing that modular might be one of the solutions?
Yes, that was quite an article. There's a There is so much information behind the scenes in that article. But just to let you know, in the last decade alone, Colorado has lost 300,000 naturally occurring housing units that people making $45,000 or less can even afford. So just because a teacher or a police officer or a nurse or a firefighter who make healthy salaries simply can't buy a home in the town where they work. They are overqualified for low-income, affordable housing, but they don't make enough to buy a new home or an existing home. And that's where the term attainable housing comes in. They simply need attainable housing. Modular can fill that quickly. The problem is capacity. I was at Ken's factory on Monday. And as we were talking, I could see that 231,000 square feet of factory, it isn't enough. I mean, just the people that were there to talk to him while I was there, they can bring in hundreds of new homes, but the entire industry has a capacity problem. And until that's fixed or addressed adequately, attainable homes are not going to be readily available to the people that can actually afford to buy a mid-range home. The missing middle, they call it, just right. Isn't there.
I agree with you. I think we're seeing that in every state. I mean, Colorado in particular, because it is, you know, to buy an average house in the Denver market, I think is like 480,000. I mean, I just don't, the rising prices and the way that the market is changing is just ridiculous. But it is what is happening in our marketplace. And I agree with you, Ken. I think that we are, or Gary, I think that we are seeing factories with fulfillment, and you're seeing the factory that, you know, Impreza is building. But the crazy part is, even though he's starting this factory, he probably already has fulfillment for the next couple of years. That's how many houses, how much inventory we need. And he's just one segment. So I'm hoping that we can see more of that. But kind of trailing back, and I kind of mentioned this before, Ken, we always seem to have this discussion with individuals and people that don't understand modular construction, which is a form of construction. When you talk about, and the article that you wrote, between the differences of a modular home and a manufactured home, and first of all, why don't you tell us the difference so people can understand it? And why do you think this question keeps coming up?
Well, I'll answer your last question first. Is we've just done a horrible job in the industry by the M word. We it's easy to confuse mobile, modular, manufactured. Everybody confuses it. And you see this actually in deeds, CC&Rs. I mean, it, subdivisions, lawyers, the whole food chain doesn't understand the difference. And it really hurts our industry. But you know, at the core, a manufactured home is built in a factory. It's a factory built cousin to the modular modular construction, but the manufactured home is built to what's called the HUD code, which is a federal code. The federal code is prescriptive. It says thou shalt be able to withstand, say, 90 mile per hour wind zone. And if an engineer can design it with 2x2s and a screw, then that's how you can build. It's prescriptive. We build in the modular world, which again, like you alluded to, Audrey, it's not a type of home, it's a method of construction. And so we use modular construction, and essentially all we do is take a house plan, divide it up into modules that we can build in a factory, put on a carrier, transport to the site in a Lego-like fashion, assemble it on site. So it is it's built to local code, assembled on that site and completed. So it's no different than the home beside of it. It's in how it was constructed, not the code it was built to. And I tell people I'm never derogatory to anything in the HUD code because it had a purpose. It's meant to be affordable housing. It has there's a great way to provide housing to people in the United States desperately needed now. But you know, that industry constantly blurs the line towards what we do, and we constantly try to brighten it because of the M word issues. And so yeah, so we've worked really hard in the modular industry itself and the offsite industry. And now developers have discovered it. Like Gary said, we've had lots of developers here when he was even here that are just looking for capacity. And within the next I would say a couple months, 2 months, we will have commitments that we will be busy. We will be committed for the next year plus out of this factory. It's a great time to be in modular.
It is. And just on that point too, I love, you explained it so well. And thank you for that, Ken. And I think it's very important for the listener to realize that it is built under the same IRC code when you're talking modular, which means when you're taking apples to apple comparison from a house that's sitting next door to it to the house that's getting built modular, they will appraise for the same value. So we're seeing the industry change in lending. We're seeing the industry change in appraisals. We're seeing the value come back into this ownership of building in this product, which makes it super exciting because when, you know, I talked to you 4 years ago, people were like, manufactured modular. If I'm going to build a modular home, who's going to be able to finance it? Am I going to, you know, how does this process work? I'm so afraid of it. And now it's like, oh my gosh, the conversation opens. People are aware of it. We're talking about it. They want to know more. They actually want a builder to build it. And like you were saying, also developers and most huge general contracting companies now have a specific smaller piece of their business in modular construction, because we know in modular construction, it helps us with safety on site, labor force, it helps us with cost certainty, and also helps us with the reduction of having labor. And the only reason we have a reduction of labor is because those individuals that used to work on the site are no longer coming back to the site. They've either retired. A lot of them since COVID have decided to go in another direction. So we still don't have the same people being able to build in the traditional on-site solution. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And actually, one of the things that really got added to the equation and makes the perfect storm for modular is in my presentations in years past that I at the IBS, you know, we had the typical, what you just said, we had people, you know, labor, you can't find it. We had the ever rising cost of materials. And that was number one and two in presentations in 2020. But actually, this year, you have to add supply chain to that issue. Supply chain is broken. And as a matter of fact, you can reverse the order. So now supply chain is the number one issue with every contractor. Cost is actually second, and labor is actually third. Now it's all close together. They're one right after the other, but it's flipped in 2 years because of COVID and the ongoing issues in the industry. We take on at the factory, we just take 80% of that headache away. Not saying there's not a supply chain issue and we have all that, but we just took it at the factory and the contractors free to sell more homes. And we take that headache and deliver them 80%, 70%, pick a number, finished product.
And the key word we're all talking about here is education, right? There's this, we have to all be educated on this paradigm shift. And, you know, shout out to Ken on his videos. I watch all his videos and his social, because it's from an experiential point of view, right? So it's an honor to have these experiences, but then collectively putting it out there. And so that's where, if you're invested in modular, you got to be paying attention to the future and the past of what Gary's doing with his blogs and all his articles, because he's very thought-provoking of taking lessons learned to moving it forward. So Gary, since we last spoke, you partnered with Ken to launch this new media venture. I believe it's called iMedia Group, that publishes the Offsite Builder magazine. Can you tell us about that?
It's interesting how it started. Ken and I have been friends for many years, and we often have breakfast together discussing all the different aspects of modular housing. And about a year ago, we realized there was an underserved market when Building Systems and Automated Builder magazines both stopped publishing. And with all the new products, services, and innovation in the construction industry, both modular and offsite, we wondered why nobody was starting a magazine written by the very people that had boots on the ground. And then it dawned on both of us that nobody else was willing to step up and take a chance on a new magazine. Why not us? And as they say, that was the aha moment. We knew that we could write, but publishing a real magazine was something we needed help producing. And one of the first people we turned to was Charlie Wardell, a well-known editor in the construction industry. And he became our managing editor. Then we added a team around that, and voila, magazine was born. And Was it easy? Absolutely not. But the result was witnessed by the reactions to it that Ken got at IBS. It just proves it was the right decision at the right time for the offsite construction industry. And Ken and I are devoted to this. I mean, we're making this happen.
And that's why we want to have this conversation, right? Of like give legacy to all this hard work and to put it forward and package this up. So Ken, what motivated you to team up with Gary, and what, you know, what is the content that you want to put into this, and what is the impact that you want to have through this added on bonus that you're doing with all the other endeavors?
Well, I mean, I think you kind of touched on it. You know, when I speak, it comes from an experience kind of, you know, experience level. Anything I talk about isn't something I've heard about or seen. I've done it. You know, I've done everything in this industry. There's a lot of people in our industry that haven't done it that are speaking on it. And there's a lot of people that speak at it from a theoretical perspective, but it's not how the builder in the field actually needs to get the information to really use it. And so, you know, when I, like Gary said, we brought Charlie in, and, you know, I have the back page, basically, we call it the final word. Charlie thought I should call it where the rubber meets the road, because that's how I talk all the time, is I talk at a, you know, experience level where the rubber meets the road. Now, we didn't make it that title, but that's this magazine. Gary and I have tried to take, I think we've got amazing writers, contributors into this magazine. They're giving you real information, real experience. And we're, you know, with Gary's eyes, you know, influence and reputation, it was hard, like Gary says. I mean, we had to start out a magazine. We had to try to get advertisers and say, oh, we've never produced a magazine. We have no subscribers. We have to put up the website. Oh, by the way, would you buy 12 issues of sponsorship for this magazine? You know, that wasn't easy, but it took, you know, our reputations to pull it off. Same thing for writers. It's not easy to write. We want writers putting out good content. We had to ask people, hey, we've never done this magazine. We haven't put it out. We're going to do this. And they put the trust in us to actually produce really good content and contribute it. And I think Gary and I are both. I mean, I'm very proud of what we've done in this magazine. And I do believe in this industry. And I think we've really, this magazine's, I think it's going to contribute to the magazine, contribute to the conversation, and be useful. I think people thought we were crazy when we said we were going to do a printed magazine along with digital, but I think our industry likes to print, and we gave out thousands of these magazines at the International Builder Show. I think, again, people are hungry for this information, and we can give it to them.
Congratulations. I actually know about publishing. I've done my own publishing a long time ago, and I do know how much work it is. So it's great to see that you're serving our industry, and we need this, especially as we're growing. Ken, of all the methods of offsite construction, why are you so sure that modular is the best?
Well, I call what we do modular forward. When we build and construct and design, it's based on modular, but it's not only modular. It's modular first. So it's we use components, we use panels. My job is to deliver a product to the field that on delivery day, on set day, it's an insert tab A and slot B process. So again, we do everything we can using modular first to deliver it. And I think 90% of the time, 80% of the time, it's a great solution. I think there's probably 10 or 20% of the time that panels and pods are going to be where the industry goes for the times that modular can't work. But what I always tell people is we're delivering, when people say, well, you know, how are you delivering this volumetric product, you're shipping nothing but air. And I say, yes, but it's finished air. And it's, you know, I get that a lot at conferences, and we're delivering the labor with the product, with the item. And I think that's how we've got to do it. Given our labor shortage, it isn't going to get any better. If you think labor is going to get better, we can fight through it. You've got your head in the sand. For every 5 people that leave the industry, 1 comes in. So you have to learn to do your job without labor, period.
Gary, do you agree with Ken?
Absolutely. There are so many facets of our industry that can be solved by the modular process. The automotive industry, I hate comparing ourselves to the automotive industry, but you have to. And we would still be looking for that better wagon wheel if we didn't have automation and modular components in the auto industry. So if your company is building houses, townhouses, or commercial property, and within the next 10 years, you haven't switched at least part of your building systems to modular, I think you're going to be in the outside looking in. I think you're going to be behind the eight ball.
All right. Well, that's where I kind of want to pick up. Ken, you kind of alluded to the round table kind of conversations that you've had at all these different conferences and over the years. And what I'd love to kind of free flow a little bit here and listen to the three of you kind of converse around what are some of the biggest topics and the most important conversations around offsite construction. Ken and Gary, what do you guys talk about at your breakfast that you do once a month that's now turned into what's the biggest topics and free flow with the three of you around what is coming out in this offsite builder magazine?
Well, when Gary and I have our conversations, they are definitely all over the place. As we say it a lot, there's a lot of squirrels in our conversations. We jump all over the place. A lot of it's just, you know, getting our industry, I think, on track. I mean, years ago, I was actually concerned after the Great Recession. We had factories going out of business. And if you don't have enough people working in it, do you really have an industry? Because we need an industry, and I think we are getting there. But, you know, up to this point, we've been a collection of factories doing the same thing. We haven't really acted as an industry. And I think we're finally starting to coalesce around, you know, our offsite construction. We're bringing bigger people into this industry, bigger entities. And so I think we'll start to see standards. You know, Tom Hardiman's working, you know, through the MBI and MHBA. To work with the ICC and create offsite construction standards, which haven't existed. You know, topics like ADUs, tiny homes that haven't had standards. Those codes are starting to come in place to allow them to exist. They were in a gray area because they weren't in code. Local jurisdictions didn't allow them. And that's coming together. The organizations are stepping up and starting to create an industry now.
I have to agree with you, and I'm going to step in here. I think one of the biggest things that I'm starting to see is the building code, the building code regulations. I'm also seeing, I think that Colorado is probably one of the hardest states to build in because we have a Department of Housing that regulates a tremendous amount of information and how it kind of gets moved through the building sources. I am seeing just in the conversations that I'm having, how we get through these processes faster. I'm seeing building departments reviewing documents and plan designs a little bit faster to understanding the process. They're also hiring people that have been in the modular industry on their staffs at building departments. So that's one of the things that I'm seeing. Ken, you know, being that a lot of your projects are on the East Coast and I've kind of just moved over to the East Coast, how are you seeing the markets on that? And how are you seeing the shifts in the building departments there? Because that's the biggest thing I think we need to, not only this factory development and the building product, but how fast can we get them inspected? How quickly can we get through plan design? How quickly can we get our permits for inspections and certifications?
That question I could answer for a long time, but I will tell you, it is all over the place. We have some jurisdictions that don't understand modular. I will tell you, not too long ago, I was in Nashville. We were working with a developer. And with this project, he said, Ken, I want to make sure we don't have a problem with the department, with our building department. He didn't tell me. He had already set up an appointment that afternoon with the building department of Nashville. And he had me talking with the director and the deputy director of the building codes department of Nashville, Tennessee. And we go in and like Devin said, you know, you kind of Google me. So at least I had a reputation out there that was positive. I think they had done that. And we talked to them and they were trying to understand where their department would fit in and how this would work. But they had a very positive attitude. I will say they were embracing knowing that they had to deal with this. And I said, I don't want to be too forward, but I would offer to come and do a training class for your department on what the factory build process, what the third party inspection process is, and how it overlaps or weaves with the on-site inspection process when you're using modular construction. And they loved it. They bought right in. And so, I mean, you have some departments that look at it a little differently, and I think we're going to grow. I've done training for home inspectors before, like in Ohio, but the home inspectors for like the, on the resale side, because I think the other problem we have, Audrey, is it's not just the new construction side, but it's the resale side that inspectors and appraisers, lenders are still struggling and still learning, and we're getting there. But, you know, we're leading the charge and trying to make it so that modular construction is just a method of construction. Everybody's been building with roof trusses and floor trusses for 50 years now, 40 years. We're just building larger components in the factory and delivering them to the field. That's the difference.
Yeah, and I want to just touch on one other thing, because this is a topic that I was talking about last week: procurement, manufacturing, distribution. We're seeing more of these larger corporations coming into the distribution. Like, you know, Devin, we talk about windows and doors and bringing those products into factories now. Do we think that with these factories needing more and more product, are there going to be new industry leaders that are going to come in for distribution?
You know, I think our industry, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in, Devin, because I just think it was, I think we're going to see some surprises in our industry. I think we're going to have some people come in that we don't even suspect are out there that we're going to see pop up.
Yeah. And here's where, you know, I started this whole podcast because I was like, you know, Gary, you had said earlier, if you're not in 10 years from now, like, when is the next 10 years this becomes the now, right? And I truly believe we're there. It's just a matter of how everybody's going to adopt it. And as owning a window and door company, seeing how manufacturers, it's just no problem to just sell direct to the factory. And I'm like, well, that's a huge thing of supply channel of who are the different trusted advisors and the expertise along the way. Because there are things that have to happen to properly install a window and door. And there's a lot of different people in that gooey middle when it comes to me owning a window and door company. We're a mini procurement. And that's one of the big things I'm seeing with all these modular companies now is that, well, they just, you know, I buy so much that anybody's just going to show up and give me all these windows until I live it day in, day out. When they go from huge companies that I've worked with for many years that go from literally 6 months ago as a lead time of 6 weeks, their Street Fighter product is now at 32 weeks. Do you think you can just be a bully because you buy so much now and that doesn't really matter about supply chain? That's just not true. And so you have to think about, it's not about just because it's cheaper and I'm going to buy more. You have to change this whole funnel. But I totally agree with Ken says, supply channel is number one right now, because you have to systemize all this stuff. And if you say in 6 months from now, you're in the line for the plant, but now it's a 6 month lead time for windows, it changes everything. And I actually think in a good way for blending offsite and onsite construction, because you can still manage that. When it comes to, I'm just going to build it, then we order the windows, you can't do it that way. And there's very few crusty contractors holding on to that model. That is so dead because how this is working. And this is the exciting things. If you look at the glasses half full, there's a lot of people out there that do it this certain way for a lot of years. They better look at how it's going to be done differently. And the 800 pound gorillas may be a little bit different from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one other just quick point that I'd love to make is the evolution of how the manufacturing or the factories that are working now. We have factories that are thinking about building science, passive house, green, lead. There's all these different influences now that I'm seeing from what I saw even 5 years ago to where we are today. And I think that's exciting for you, Ken, because you can bring product for the developer. You can bring product for the end consumer that can have something nicer, higher quality, more efficient, something that has, you know, a house that has a better building envelope. There's a lot of things that are happening that make me excited to be in this industry as well.
And Audrey, just to build on exactly what you just said, we will be having lots of announcements and surprises, you know, coming out for the industry based on that. There's opportunities that we have here that, you know, we're doing things different ways in the factories that hasn't been mainstream in our industry. So good things are going to be coming out over the coming weeks and months. Stay tuned.
I love it. So really quick, just to reflect on, you know, the system build and coming back to our beginning of the system build lifestyle. Ken and Gary, what does the phrase system build mean to you?
Well, just real quick on my side is kind of like what I said earlier, it's modular forward, but we deliver complete products. We deliver whether we use components or panels, and it is a system. It's a process. We aren't just out building stick by stick in the field where it's, you know, I like Jerry McCoffrey, you know, his example is, do you think a guy sitting in the field cutting a board over top of his boot is going to do it as well as you, you know, with it, whether it's a, you know, a machine in the factory? You know, the answer is no. It's built to a standard. It's built consistently and it's built well.
I have an interesting thing here. How many of you ever heard of a company called Hinkle Guild and Company? Probably doesn't mean anything to anybody. But in 1857, they built the first modular homes. 1857, they were sending cabins from Cincinnati, Ohio to Kansas. And in 165 years, we should have done something better. But until the last 5 years, I'm going to say, we've always been doing it the same darn way we've always done it. And these last 5 years, and I've watched it through Ken with what he's done mostly because we talk about it at breakfast, the evolution of modular is here. But in 165 years ago, this little company was doing something that we're still talking about today. Is it any good? Can you do it? How do we get them inspected? How do we get them regulated? These guys 165 years ago had it figured out. You just build it and ship it. Have we come a long way? I would say only in the last 5 years have we really decided that systems built product is the way to go. And we're really attacking it now. The technology, the innovation that's out there. Yeah.
What an honor to hear that perspective, right, Gary? Because you've been doing this with system build, you've been living the system build lifestyle longer than 5 years, and you can go back to listen to the podcast where you talk about that, right? So when you say really changing in the last 5 years, that's what gets me so excited to say the future of construction is now. If you listen to, you know, the last few podcasts being released with the partnerships Art of Construction is working on with Trimble and how we're working to work from one source of digital truth to build this stuff. How cool is that, that the master architects can go back to being master architects from this model that actually gets built through a system, right? And so, Gary, as we close this thing out, the couple last questions that we ask everybody, I'm going to ask the first part to you, Gary, and the last part to Kent. Gary, what is your crystal ball? And it's just such an honor to hear, have you healthy here and kicking and doing so well. What is your crystal ball for the future with technology in construction?
That's a real question I've been struggling with for a while now. Does technology influence a process, or does a process influence technology? And depending on one's answer to that question, technology being the backbone of change in our industry, your answer to that question determines how fast you bring it into your own personal business. The ideas at the previous IBS in Vegas, the last live one before this one, introduced a lot of new technology. And since that show, a lot of those tech vendors found that nobody either wanted it or was too expensive, and their ideas have ended up in the trash. So going back to that question again, does technology influence a process, or does the process influence technology? I'm a big believer that the process influences technology, and the ones that are missing out are the ones that, well, I built this wonderful gadget and gadget, and it's going to help you so much, but it only cost $1 million to install it. Those people rely on technology influencing the process, and I don't think that's where it's at. And that's my 2 cents.
It's gold. And the last question that always comes full circle and why I ask that is because this is the chicken or the egg, right? The future, the past, the lessons learned, and the knowledge of us all coming together. Of Ken, of all these years of being on the stage, and all the roundtables, man, we commend you of how fast this modular plant actually came to fruition. Ken, what is that one thing you want the Art of Construction tribe of its contractors and affiliates to think about to move forward and go out there and crush it and grow their business?
I would say that right now I see so many people thinking about getting into offsite, looking at offsite, learning about offsite. I would say just get started now. Don't have any regrets that 15 years from now, 5 years from now, I wish I would have. Don't let that happen. I would say get started. You're going to make mistakes. Learn it. Try to get with some trusted advisors and consultants, but don't wait. This is the future and you have to get started now. This is the time.
Well, what an honor, and thank you so much for coming back into Studio Art of Construction with Audrey and I. That I got to admit, Audrey, when I started this thing, you know, a few years ago with you, I really didn't think it was going to be successful because I was one of those crusty contractors. And I challenge myself and I challenge everybody in the Art of Construction tribe to just stop and think about this for a second. If you don't change, you're going to get left behind. And it doesn't matter what that is. But don't just change for technology's sake. Make sure you do a little tea before you go get shit done. But you got to get shit done. And Audrey, I'm just so proud of getting shit done together, right? Because we just went out there and did it. And our master's degree, man, there's a lot of different channels to this thing. And it's going to continue to evolve. But as a technology guy, learning from the experts like Gary, it's people is number one, it's process number two, and it's moving forward with the system-built lifestyle, all working together in the tribe, is the solution to this thing and working together. What's your take? Bring us home, Audrey.
Man, I think you've covered all pieces, Devin, and I think it is exciting and entertaining and expanding. This journey that we're on has moved so swiftly, so creatively, and it's interesting, like you were saying, technology is driving things. The way we build is changing. The way we communicate and find those individuals in our industry that are expanding as quickly as they are, we can only hope that construction will continue to evolve. So with that, I love being a part of the System Build lifestyle group. I'm proud of where you've come from, where we've kind of worked together and where we're going in the future. It's been an honor.
Awesome. Gary, Ken, thanks for coming back and sharing your story. We're big fans and we'll make sure to put links in the show notes of the digital version and how to get the physical version and the plants and the this and the that. Thank you for being leaders of the Art of Construction and moving the industry forward.
And Devin, I hereby bestow your Masters of Modular Appliance.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Well, stay in touch, Art of Construction tribe. Let's all be masters together. Crush it out there.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.